Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Grab an earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
I see all the heroes who are don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Okay, seems like everything's going all right now, and I think it may be a modem problem here with our wireless deal. So we'll get a phone company in here on that tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be able to get that squared away. That's probably what was killing us here last night. So sorry for the inconvenience and the frustration. I know how it is. But as for right now, it is Cinco de Mayo, and it's Tuesday. And hopefully we can get this thing done. I'm sorry that Amy had so much trouble there, but we'll get her on good and strong here. Hopefully they'll get us all fixed up in the next day or two and be able to keep this thing running. Okay, some of the we did a little work on our website. It's still nothing fancy because I'm not a website worker. But it gets the point across. So if you go to theshootingbench.us, you can see the calendar and everything up there, and haven't changed anything on the classes or anything, but the schedule is up, and that's well, you just look for I think it's training and events or classes and events or something like that, and you can see what we got coming up. We've got a the most significant thing we have coming up is still our class in Yakima, Washington, coming up here the 26th, 27th, and 28th of next month. And that is a three-day personal defense handgun class that includes a night shoot. And I think we've got, I'm reserving two or three places here to see what all else is going on up there, but we're just about full. So I'm just kind of holding those back until I see what happens. And anyway, I know it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great place to shoot up there, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, there's a boy. It rained last night. Damn, it rained last night. It wind blew. We had a regular little hurricane right here in Arizona. It was blowing under the door and everything else. I had never seen nothing like it around here. Thought I was down in southeast Texas again. But, all right, we've got, you know, I got to wonder, when people talk about sheep, the sheeple, those people that refuse to do anything, those people that won't stand up, and when, you know, I think we're all sheeple. I think every last one of us are sheeple. It's one thing to go stand up there with at rallies and everything, but we are to a point, you know, I don't advocate, nor do I expect anything to happen. But we have such a tremendous number of invasions of privacy and injuries and deaths committed at the hand of law enforcement across the nation. And we read about it and we cuss and we, you know, we say, well, they better not come try that here, and go complain to the friends at the barbershop and the beer joints about it. And that's as far as it goes. You know, in 1775, 1776, this would have never been allowed to stand. So, and we're going to talk about a few of these here in a little bit, but we're going to get on that here in just a little bit. I suppose you heard about Chris Matthews. I cannot stand Chris Matthews. I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire. I cannot stand that man. But he said about the shooting down in Garland, Texas. He said, and for those of you that don't know, Pamela Geller has a site. It's called, has something to do with Islam. I'm not sure. But she is vehemently anti-Islam. And she's got her site where she talks about this kind of stuff all the time. It has for a long time. And so Chris Matthews is blaming her. She said Pamela Geller has caused the Texas shooting by setting a trap for the Muslims. Compares her to the Nazis. Let me tell you in his own words here, out of his own filthy, ugly
Texas,
mouth.
We're learning more about the gunman who opened fire at an event where an anti-Islamic group held a contest on who could be the nastiest, draw the nastiest cartoon of Muhammad. Can you believe that people set that kind of a mouse trap? Anyway, finally, let me finish with this strange disconnect.
So they set a trap for him, you said. Okay, they're getting lots of new old faces in here. Procise back in here again. Looks like he's having a little sound trouble. Doc has joined us. And I saw someone else here. John Fish Macon is in there. Roger's joined us. And Procise, I'm sorry you're having a problem there. I don't know if anybody else is or not. If we have too much problem, we'll just shut it down again and get this worked on over the next day or so, hopefully. So it's must not be in the wireless itself. It must be in the modem itself. So I don't know what else to do. I've done everything. If we're having a problem with that, then we'll just have to pull the plug on it. But let's see here. Let's just go on and see how far we can go. This was an interesting little deal. This happened in New York. Video has been released now of a little issue there. This occurred last spring, but it's just video is just getting out yesterday. And this is a video where four veteran New York police officers were surrounded and held at gunpoint at a busy intersection by Ramapo police in New York. They were riding in a state-issued car trying to execute an arrest warrant, when this car came up full of Ramapo or some Ramapo or something, police department, and one from the Village of Suffren. And one of the cops said, all I could think about was if I sneeze or blink or clear my throat, yeah, I might have a bullet lodged in my head. Well, how does it feel? You know, you get out there and try to do what's right, and you wind up getting surrounded by your own compadres out there. And I guess the police were responding to a 911 call that said there was black people out there wearing bulletproof vests in a car. And so anyway, the long story short, the cops that were in the car are now suing the other department and everything, because they said that they racially profiling them. And you know, black people with a bulletproof vest in a car, they're bound to be up to no good. So they they put them all under arrest. So I don't know what's going to happen to that. If they sue, they'll probably win in this. But I, you know, what do you really expect nowadays? I know that it's probably in another day and time, it probably would not be a correct thing to do to racially profile like that. But nowadays, you know, we would have never done it to a few years ago. We wouldn't have done it to Muslims or Mexicans or anything, but it's getting to a point now where it's more often than not, it pays off. And I hate to say that because it's not right, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to be that way. But I will also say that because it is that way, and why it is that way, because some of these people have brought it on themselves. And not that these cops in this car did by any means. No, they're trying to do the job and all that. But when you see what happens in Ferguson and Baltimore and every place else that's been going on, you know, you can't blame people for being a little jumpy. It's not right, but you still can't blame them. So, okay, before I continue on, it looks like Doc come in there and said the sound is bad. Looks like ProSize already split because the sound was bad. At Northwest Heavy, if you can hear me, buddy, I'm proud of you for going down there to the Sugar Pine Mine. That's a good deal. For 10 days, that's a good little tour of duty there. So you guys, whoever can hear me, give me some feedback here and let me know if this is worth trying to pursue, because there's no use going through all of this if you guys can't hear. We'll just get the phone company in here and get this stuff worked on and see what the heck is going on. I don't like it any better than you do. Matter of fact, I like it a lot less than you do, because I have never really abandoned my show but two or three times in the history of the shooting bench. So Roger's still there. John says the 32 is all right. We'll try to go. If I see too many complaints, well, we'll BB Burner's out. BB Burner, how come you can't go to the 32? Let's try that and see. Well, Peanut Rider and John say the 32 is okay. Well, if some of you's getting it and some of you's not, then it can't be all on this end. I don't know what the heck to tell you. Well, let me carry on here for a little bit, and if we get many more complaints, we'll just stop. So, in Atlanta's a great city as far as cities in the South go, and I had a lot of fun down in Atlanta, but looks like we have some issues down there with cops here in Atlanta. 25-year-old Atlanta woman died this last, was it last Thursday? Last Thursday. Week ago, day after tomorrow, I guess. Two cops investigating reports of a stolen car, and they found her sitting in the vehicle that was stolen, and she was arrested without any incident and placed in the back of the police car. And then what happened, it said that they watched as Atlanta officers, more than one of them, fired into one of their own patrol cars. No officers were injured, but the woman was struck with several bullets. She was taken to the hospital, and she died a little while later. And the idea here, you know, why would a woman wait till she was handcuffed and arrested to use her gun? They said that that they were firing on her, or that she was firing on them, or about to. It sounds a little odd to me, number one, that they would put her in the car without checking her, and number two, that she would be able to access her gun and shoot with any degree of accuracy. How would you expect to be able to get away from the back seat of a police car that you can't get out of unless somebody opens the back door? You know, this whole thing sounds a little fishy to me. They said it did note that male officers do not conduct comprehensive pat downs on female subjects. However, this woman was handcuffed behind her back, and she supposedly the gun found at the scene was a Taurus PT-138. So, I don't know. The witnesses there said officers were involved in a shootout with another man who was not in the vehicle. The gentleman was shooting at the officer, and the officer started firing back. And so they're wondering if the cops may have mistaken the direction the gunfire was coming from and shot and killed the woman, and then tried to cover it up. According to the TV station there, police are compiling all the witness accounts and checking to see which downtown surveillance cameras may have picked up the conversation, if any, and collecting and analyzing all the physical evidence, ballistics, and the recording the officer's own accounts. So that's kind of hard to swallow right there. So we'll see what comes out of that. If we get any updates, we'll be sure and let you know. Okay, well, Yakima Glock's not going anywhere, so I guess we'll keep going here for a little while and see what happens. Okay, another one in Georgia, Gwinnett County, Georgia, and this is right there. I mean, it's practically a suburb of Atlanta. It's in Clayton County, Clayton County Sheriff, and it was reported out of Gwinnett County. Both of them are next door to Fulton County that Atlanta's in. But the sheriff down there is named Victor Hill. He is, as of right now anyway, seems to be walking around a free man. According to Gwinnett County Police Sergeant there, the sheriff accidentally, I'm not sure how this happened, accidentally shot a woman at a model home. She was a realtor. And this was in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Lawrenceville is where my old superintendent used to live. The woman that she shot, the woman that he shot is in critical condition right now at the hospital. And they're still trying to figure out how a law enforcement officer can accidentally shoot a woman as she shows a house. So when the cops got there, they said that the sheriff refused to cooperate with the investigation, wouldn't give a statement or answer any questions, and pretty soon he just said, well, I'm the sheriff, and left. So think about that for a minute. What kind of a person would do this to start with? What kind of a law enforcement officer would just say, well, I'm sheriff. I accidentally shot somebody, so it's no biggie. I mean, I'm the sheriff. I can do that. I can get away with it. He shot, and he may have killed this woman. She's in critical condition. They don't know. This was yesterday, so I don't know if there's an update on it or not. And gives no reason as to why or how it happened, answers no questions, and just says, well, I'm the sheriff, and walks off, got in the car and left. Now, if you were to take you or me and do the same thing, then look at it any way you want to from any number of different angles, none of them would have worked out well for us. We would not be just walking away. So we have people in Baltimore and Ferguson and several other places, actually, just not being quite as violent and everything, but the protesters all over the country, and people are wondering where all this anger comes from. Well, I can tell you, Gwinnett County, Georgia, is one of them. And it seems that there are two totally separate justice systems in the United States. One for us, and one for the other guys, for the ruling class. And it says, prior to the sheriff crossing paths with this woman, she was alive and well, and now she's not. Regardless of what happened there and what kind of a deal it was, it was solely at the hand of this sheriff for whatever reason. So at least he, unless they find out something else about it, he should be charged with negligence, and it may be negligent homicide. We may find out maybe he was having an affair with her or something. Maybe he just maybe it's first degree murder. Hell, I don't know. So now here's the way things go on down in that part of Georgia. And you hear about this in a lot of places, but it seems to be about as often in the South as anywhere. He was reelected as sheriff while he was facing 37 charges of corruption. After he was reelected, he was acquitted of all those charges. You need to either have the trial or a hearing or something and find out if all those charges, he still had those charges pending against him when when he was elected. Would you vote for a sheriff that had 37 corruption charges pending on him at the time? And then he's reelected and they all just got swept under the rug. They all went away. Now you can imagine the way he's acting here, that at least some of them, if not all of them, were probably true. The jury acquitted him after he claimed he had the right to use county vehicles, credit cards, and take pleasure trips with former female employees, including to gambling casinos, because he was sheriff 24/7, 365 days a year, and was always on call. So any time that he did any of this stuff, he justified it by saying that he was he's a sheriff. He can shoot people because I'm the sheriff. So that's how that works. All right, let's check on the sound here. 32 in grade. C7 has joined us. Boy, we've really dropped off our listenership there. Okay. Yeah, Scout has got it right there. Sounds like they need to hire a Buford Pusser. No kidding. Yep, I think that's a good job for him there. You know, I like the second Walking Tall was a good show. I enjoyed it. But the first one, I think, I generally like first movies and first songs and stuff like that. Usually the way I see them or hear them first is the way I usually like them. But okay, well, I'm going to go ahead on and finish this, or try to, because we've gone this far now, and I know there's some people still having sound problems, but there's no use wasting what we've already done. So most of the people listen to the podcast anyway. When you get right down to it and look at the loadings of the podcast and stuff, well, we just have a handful of listeners come into the chat room, but I am certainly grateful for every one of them that do. So there's, let me wait for this to open here. And by the way, for those of you that sometimes people tell you that the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, is the equivalent of our Independence Day, the same as our 4th of July, it is not. It's not that at all. It had to do with a war in a little town there that they won this little battle, and it was instrumental in helping them kick the French, helping the Mexicans kick the French out of Mexico. So it doesn't have anything to do with their, I won't say it doesn't have anything to do with it, but it's not their, their Independence Day by any means. So. Okay, now this is still a little bit fuzzy to me, but it's extremely concerning. And we need to see if We need to see if anybody's going to stand up here to this. Apparently, and I haven't found too many stories on this, so I'm not telling you this as gospel truth just yet until I hear more about it. But it appears to be well documented and well researched. But it says that there's not even a date on this. Apparently, it seems to be new because everybody's posting it all over the place. But I don't see it dated. So we'll go into this and see if we can find out a little bit more about it. But it says that the Supreme Court has refused to review a case concerning California school officials that banned students from wearing American flag t-shirts, scared that it was going to be too disruptive. Now, whether this is old, new, or truth or not, I wouldn't let my kids go to school in a place where the teachers were worried about American flags disrupting things. You know, I worry about people wearing turbans disrupting things. I worry about Mexican flags on things disrupting stuff. I'm not too worried about the American flag disrupting my... If it does, then we have a problem, Houston. Something is not right in a school where they're worried about the United States flag on t-shirts and stuff disrupting class. But it seems that this court decision was taken behind closed doors on Monday. It doesn't say this Monday. It just says Monday. So I still don't know what the date is on this. No explanation was given as to why this case will not be taken any further. This is the case of Dariano versus Morgan Hill Unified School District. The case comes from an incident back in 2010 when students, when I remember this, we talked about this on my show. C7 probably remembers this. We covered this very, very thoroughly. But this is when students were ordered to take their U.S. flag t-shirts on, take them off on Cinco de Mayo. And the school officials had cited concerns that such displays of patriotism would inflame racial tensions. If you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo in my school in this country, you are disturbing or creating racial tension here. Four different students were suspended and sent home, and a blanket ban put in place. Not that anybody liked it or agreed with it, but they still sent the kids home. So those people say now that the Supreme Court's decision to let stand, the Supreme Court didn't rule on it, they just refused to hear it. So they've let this Ninth Circuit Court ruling stand that restricts free speech in this deal that these displays of patriotism in America can be prohibited. When kids in public schools cannot wear American flags on a t-shirt because it might be disruptive, we have a serious, serious free speech is dead. First Amendment is kaput. Of course, we've known that. It's been kaput for a lot of reasons. But so this is going to get to a point, and I don't know why it hasn't already, to tell you the truth. I don't know why why Americans have not stood up to this. There's still a tremendous faction of Americans out there. Well, I guess you can call them women. Of course, I know some women that would definitely take exception to that. But there's a large percentage of Americans say, well, if the Supreme Court has said it, then that's the law, and that's what we have to do. Like it or not, that's the law. So where does that end exactly? That's the law. So if it becomes the law that you are to throw your firstborn male baby over a cliff or give it to the state, was that okay? I mean, they've done it in other countries. Why would they not do it here? Is that all right? If they tell you that everyone must buy a diesel car, you don't have a choice. That's the law. We're going to keep making the other cars, and judges and cops and senators and representatives and stuff like that can and people that make over $250,000 a year, $500,000 a year, those people can buy these sports cars. I think everybody else has to buy a little two-cylinder diesel buggy because that's the law. And that's okay? You guys are all right with that? Why do we keep saying that just because the judges have said this, that that's the law? When you get to a point where they have completely bypassed the Constitution, whatever happened to the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I don't understand why, if they're not allowing you those rights, why do we just keep putting up with it? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. So, well, let's look on down here. Here's another one. Here's another. This goes right along with whatever else we've been talking about. Give me just a second. We've still got 20 minutes here. I didn't take a break because we're having so many problems. So, but here's another one. This is 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. It explained to me once again how it is that only the government should have guns. Only those trained professionals that kill people accidentally and everything should have guns. But in Mansfield, Ohio, there's a 58-year-old guy who's I guess we could ask him, you know, about this, except, well, he's dead. He died earlier this week, last week, no, 2 weeks ago, during a full-on military attack at his house, at his private residence, because he was known as a prepper by his neighbors. There was rumor that he even had a bunker, God forbid, in his basement. Wow. Armed to the teeth with semi-automatic weapons, legal semi-automatic weapons, tons of ammo, even explosives, they said. He'd been on one of their lists for a long time. This week, due to their 2 weeks ago, due to the complaint from a utility company employee, he said that he would not allow him into the basement to inspect the pipes. Well, they seized this opportunity. The militarized police forces, the SWAT team, rolled into the neighborhood, destroying Parker's neighbors' rose bushes and trees with armored vehicles. 26-hour standoff took place, and eventually the guy wound up dead. When authorities inspected the home, no bunker or mass armaments were found. His basement was not even been reinforced. It was just a basement, nothing in it. Just plain old everyday ordinary run-of-the-mill basement. Concrete hole in the ground. So, there you go. Well, there's some people are having a little issue with some of this stuff, I guess. There was one instance in New York here, and of course we don't know why exactly, but there was a New York police officer who was ambushed, shot in the head. And I keep thinking that as much this stuff is going on, and it has been escalating, or maybe escalating is not the right word, it's becoming more frequent that these cops are being shot. And I've wondered if, you know, it's going to come a time, I think, when cops are going to say, you know what, this job is not safe anymore. I mean, I've always taken the risk knowing that come with the job, but now it's just a matter of even being able to get home, going shopping, being down at the swimming pool with the kids. And I fear that we're not far off from this being a very regular occurrence, which is going to bring more restrictions down on us and could at some point try to help to usher in martial law in some areas. I'm still not convinced that they can do this over the whole country, but I am convinced that they could do it over metropolitan areas a little bit at a time. And as they continue, the more violent it's going to be and more bloodshed is going to happen when they try to do it. But they said this guy was shot in the head in Queens Saturday. He was, let's see, sources say the officer was speaking to someone at 211th Street and 104th Avenue in Queens when the person pulled out a gun and shot the officer. The managing editor for WNBC-TV tweeted that the suspect is on the run. So here we go. The officer's just been shot. There he goes. Let me get on my phone. Tell everybody on Twitter that he's leaving. He's running. Wow. Breaking. NYPD officer shot and wounded in Queens Village. Officer scouring neighborhood telling residents to stay in their homes. Yeah, well. Okay. Investigators say plainclothes anti-crime officers were sitting in an unmarked car when they approached a man walking on the street. They say the man started talking to him before firing three shots at the car. One of the officers suffered injuries to his right cheek and the back of his head. He was taken to the hospital in critical but stable condition. He believed the shooter was taken into custody after investigators scoured the neighborhood. Second update. Steve Bognar, who was the reporter guy, reports on Twitter that NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton said the wounded officer is 25 years old, still in surgery. Okay, well, they do have him in custody. I can't imagine that we're not going to see a whole lot more of this as time goes on. And we've got ISIS has just executed 10 doctors over there. This was on April 10th. May 2nd, ISIS executes 600 Yazidi hostages in Tel Afar. It's whole world's going nuts here. Now, this one, I'm glad Iowa Cat and Pumpkin Cat's not listening anymore, or they probably can't listen anymore. They're not going to like this story. Amy's not going to like this story either. This is kind of absurd. You know, it's... Well, let me just tell you here. There's a man here that, on video, has taken this... I don't even like this story. This is just amazing to me. But there's a video out there of a man who had taken a bite out of a cat, small cat, and he was telling his buddies he was going to do it, and they're all standing around cheering him on. They're all a bunch of sick pukes if they can do that and just watch somebody do that. They were all spurring him on and said they seemed to enjoy every minute of it. They're heard laughing and cheering, and at the end of the video, the cat's just thrown on the ground, and the people in the video just walk away. Just go on with their lives as if nothing happened. The details of the video are too scarce to find out anything. You can hear some of the people speaking in Spanish there, and someone said the accent seems like it might have been from Guatemala, but that's all they've got. So, but I don't even have any intention of watching the video. I'm not squeamish. I'm not weak. I don't mind hunting. I don't mind killing animals. You know, I mean, but to do something like this, to starve an animal or to injure an animal purposely and leave it without even putting it out of its misery or something, that is absurd. It's absolutely amazing. And the idea to me here is not so much that that the cat's not the story here. The story is the person, the people. It's all of them. Anybody that would do something like this, anybody that would watch something like this and condone it and just walk away, just like the ISIS guys did, the poor dog that they put in a cage that he couldn't get out of, poured gas all over him, set him on fire, and then stood around, watched, and laughed until he died, and then just walked away. The deal, the story here is not cruelty to animals. The story is that we're dealing with a breed of criminals, of heartless savages all over the world now that are going to make, number one, damn fine targets. But number two, they're going to be an enemy that that's going to put our moral standards at odds for a little bit, because in my mind, and believe you me, I lay awake nights thinking about stuff like this, and I think about when the war starts, where am I, you know, making sure that I am fighting the good fight and that Heavenly Father is on my side and all that. And when I come across people like this, am I justified in judging them and making sure that that we don't take any prisoners, that they that all of them are terminated with extreme prejudice when the opportunity arises? That's what my emotion, my gut says, and it's still something that will have to be dealt with, you know, probably on a case by case basis for a little while until we see how everything unfolds here. But my first reaction here to something like this is, and you have to wonder if we judge all people? Do we judge all Mexicans because the cartel cuts people's heads off with chainsaws? Do we judge all Muslims because some of them burn dogs and burn people and everything like this? Do we judge all Guatemalans because they take bites out of a kitten and throw them on the ground? I think that's a very, in some regards, a very slippery slope we have to be careful of. Now, if I witness something like this happening, then all bets are off. I go by my own teachings and values, and I'll decide if it's justified or not. And if I see somebody lighting a prisoner on fire in a cage that he can't get out, you damn right I'm gonna light him up. I have every intention of getting rid of as many of them as I possibly can. But, you know, we have to be careful about just saying, well, there's another Mexican. He might be cartel, so I guess you better shoot him. I don't know. A lot of stuff to think about. I spend a lot of time thinking about how things are going to be and how soon it's coming. And I look at the things going on in Oregon and Washington and, hell, every state in the country, every state in the Union has newsworthy things going on right now, whether it's invasions, intrusions, can't think of the word. I start thinking about this stuff and I get frustrated. But rights being just, you know, not violated, just removed, taken away, like they don't even exist. Like you never had them to start with. And these kind of stories disturb me, not only for my own sake, but I think about people growing up now. I think about kids that are looking forward to enjoying prom and having a good time and not wanting to, not having the desire to get out and say, you know what, Daddy, I think maybe instead of going to some sporting event or something, maybe we should go out and I should learn how to shoot or something. I don't know. Well, I'm getting flustered and getting my eye teeth over my tongue over my eye teeth. Can't see what I'm saying very well, so I think I probably might as well just pull the plug on this thing. It's been kind of a train wreck tonight anyway. So I'm going to get on out of here, and hopefully we will call the phone company tomorrow and we'll see what we can do about this. I'm confident now that it's in the modem here, so I can't guarantee it'll be fixed tomorrow, but I can guarantee you we're sure going to try. So for those few of you that stayed with me and hung through all this, I appreciate it, and I don't blame the rest of you that took off. Hopefully the podcast will be better, and you guys can listen to it here in a day or two. All right, good night. We'll see you hopefully tomorrow. If we don't get things fixed, we're not even gonna mess with tomorrow. I'm not even gonna sit here and fight this all night and get all flustered where I can't think and can't talk. So we'll see you then. See you sometime. Well, now I can't even get that damn thing to start.
Myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's